High Vibe Mama is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hello, rock stars. I'm your host, Carrie Price. Welcome to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I am so thrilled to be discussing all things health, wellness, lifestyle, motherhood, and more. Ready to get vibed? All right. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I haven't been in the studio for a little bit, so I'm back, and I'm actually back with one of my really good friends, and guess what her name is? Carrie. We have the same name, Carrie and Carrie. You guys know kind of how the podcast works is that I like to listen to music and I like to jam out to music so we can, get out of get into fun zone, I think.
Fun zone so, works.
Yeah. So she didn't want to pick a favorite song, so I get to pick a song on which one I want to pick. And I'm looking through my playlist here. I have so many to pick from. Let's do this one. This one's a fun one. And we're going to play this song by Nick Jonas, right? It's got a really good beat to it. More hooks than a coat rack. Yeah. Why would I hold back? Click tight like a Kodak. Just try and stop it, try and stop it. Ooh. Fast break in the home. Okay, we're going to be talking all about like metabolic health. Work best, so we play more. And I'm excited. Try not to do the choreography. Watch me. All right, we're good. We set the tone. We're ready. Uh-oh. That kept going. Why does it keep going? That's weird.
Okay. That takes me back.
Oh, does that take you back?
Saturday Night Live.
Oh. Well, then we should have played that one. Okay, so we got the vibe set. I'm actually here with my really good friend, Carrie. We have the same name, and she's actually my trainer. And I've just been working with a lot of people lately, and I've been talking a lot about metabolic health. And one of the questions that I've been getting, well, what is actually metabolic health? What? They don't even know really what I'm talking about. And so I have an expert here in metabolic health.
Well, I don't know how much expert, but I know a few things, yes.
Yes. So tell us, what is metabolic health?
Well, it's mainly the absence of some dysfunction. So all metabolic health is going to eventually find its way back to insulin resistance.
Okay. So what's insulin resistance?
It's how well you're handling blood sugar and the whole insulin and blood sugar, the spikes and lows, and then there's a whole cascade of issues from elevated blood sugar and therefore elevated insulin.
Okay, and so I know you always share this, on your Instagram stories and on, your Facebook that we are metabolically unhealthy.
Yeah, as a country, 88% of us are metabolically unhealthy.
Okay, so dig deeper into that.
So that means 12% of us have a healthy functioning metabolic system. That means we handle blood sugar well. We keep our blood sugar under control without spiking our insulin. And then the offshoot diseases, disorders that come from that are high blood sugar or high blood pressure, excuse me. You would have high triglycerides, which that leads what heart disease, right? Low HDL and belly fat is one of those metabolic markers. And then high blood sugars. So a doctor will diagnose you as insulin resistant, if having insulin resistance if you have three of those five.
Okay. So if majority of us are there, let's talk about the cascade then. How does one get there? I know you always talk about toxic seed oils.
That's a huge one.
You talk about PUFs.
PUFAs.
Yeah.
Which is toxic seed oils. We could go into why not, why it's critical to avoid and that and
that
how hard it is.
Causes metabolic damage, correct? Mm-hmm. I guess let's go into that. Like, what are the top, would you say, 3-5 things that cause this metabolic damage? That
the toxic seed oils, which are the processed seed oils, we can go into how they're made so you can understand why you would never put that in your body, but it's in everything. You eat at a restaurant, they cook with it. They fry in it. You bring it home. If you have anything in a package, crackers, chips, salad dressing, you name it, it's in there. Even if you go to Trader Joe's or the health food section, turn it over and look what fat they're using.
I know. And it's usually safflower oil, which is one of the PUFAs, right?
It's one of the PUFAs. But it's there's a couple things. It's just we have an abundance of PUFAs, polyunsaturated fatty acids, and they're more inflammatory. Mm-hmm. But it's the processing, by the time you consume it, it's already so oxidated, meaning it's rancid. Like, it's gross. It's, and then what they have to do before you consume it. And then once you consume it, it's oxidative. And think oxidative means inflammation. So it's a very high promoter of inflammation. Your cell membranes use fats to make a nice integrity cell membrane in your body, if it has good saturated fat, which I know they tell us not to eat saturated fat, but I'm going to tell you the total opposite.
Yeah.
You want saturated fat to build nice cell membranes because they allow a nice, the proper integrity to allow what's supposed to go into the cell go in and what's supposed to go out comes out. When your body is trying to make cell membranes, so every time you're always constantly making new cells, do you want your cell membranes made out of PUFAs or saturated fat? The PUFAs right. make it kind of this flimsy cell wall. They're kind of leaky. So how can, first of all, you got the inflammation response. So you're going to have a cascade of inflammation. And then along comes a big virus and you can't fight it off.
Right. So then that's one of the things that causes metabolic damage and toxic seed oils, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, okay, let's talk about, I always like to talk about the opposite then. So if there's toxic seed oils, what are oils people should be eating? I know avocado oil, right?
As long
some
as it's
coconut oil.
This is the thing in our country is as long as it's pure olive oil or
you
avocado
don't heat
oil.
It. Yeah.
Well, with their polyphenols and stuff, you can, but it's best left to like drizzle or for salad dressings.
Yeah.
But in our country, they dilute everything with vegetable oil. So it's really hard to get a pure monounsaturated, but that because yeah. that's a good fat. So the good fats are going to be your saturated fats from healthy grass-fed pastured animals and your
so grass-fed butter,
mm-hmm, ghee,
things like that, yeah, which I totally love, and maybe some coconut oil too. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
use some coconut oil. So yeah, so we want to ditch the toxic seed oils and kind of replace it with good healthy fats, so then we're not adding to our metabolic damage. Okay. So we've talked about number, like, what do you think the second thing is besides toxic seed oils that contributes to the metabolic damage in the body?
As humans, we were never designed to eat the amount of carbohydrates that we eat now in the form of sugar, which when I mean sugar, glucose, I mean grains, dessert, you know, sugar. So that's all your flours, straight up sugar, soda, juice, you know, all these smoothies. Yeah, there's nutrients in there, but there's so much sugar. It's right. spiking your blood sugar. And it's just, it's this pattern over time where the dysfunction begins to happen.
Okay. So I guess dig deeper more into that. So the I've known that too, if we're constantly, and I even one of the greatest renowned doctors, and his name is on the tip of my tongue, I can't think of his name, but he said, if you want to age very quickly, keep spiking your blood sugar constantly. Yeah. And he goes, so you even, you know, he's like, talked about smoothies or talked about even juice fast. He's just like, that's just constantly spiking your blood sugar, which we actually want to level it out. So he's just like, yeah, if you want to age faster, go ahead and keep spiking your blood sugar as much as possible. We want to find like that healthy balance. And so, you know, I guess for, and most of the people listening to my podcast are moms, I guess for, you know, and people that are into health and want to learn about more natural and health healing. So if we're going to talk about metabolic health when it comes to carbohydrates or spiking our blood sugar, if we're saying what adds to that is sugar, carbohydrates, juice, all of that, we can eliminate that. However, what do you think, like, is it, are we always shooting for a constant balance, or do we want to find a little bit of spike in blood sugar sometimes?
I would say if you're getting ready to go work out, and you need to, if you need to load up your glycogen stores. But you think about how we eat, like the typical American, right?
Right. Really heavy in carbohydrates.
Right. We wake up and we have cereal. We have bagels. We have donuts. And that's fried toxic oil. Like, I can't even, now that I understand what it does in my body, I just can't. But
you're not going to go get your free donut and get the thing.
Get the thing. Yeah. Nope.
Isn't that just an oxymoron?
Right. It just shows you where we are as a mindset in our country. And I think it's just planting little seeds of education and like your podcast, and that's going to reach that person and so on and so on.
Yeah.
It has to be a grassroots kind of a thing.
Yeah. Okay. We get a little sidetracked on the thing. We got to get back.
No. But I mean, with the carbs. And so then you're going to crash because insulin's going to come in and drop your blood sugar. And sometimes when you start getting that metabolic dysfunction, that insulin will go really too high. And in some people, and then now you've gotten hypoglycemic and now you're hangry. Now you're going to eat your arm off and you're just looking for that next quick fix. Your body wants some blood sugar. So that's like if you're at the office, you're not going to be able to, when you go into the break room, and everybody's break room has what treats in it, brownies, cookies,
yeah,
leftovers, so-and-so from last night, and you're just going to dive headfirst into that because you want that stable. But then you're just creating all day long. So then you have that, and then you make it to lunch, which is probably a slam sandwich with a couple pieces of bread and potato chips, tortilla chips, maybe a soda. There again, so much sugar, and I can tell you about how many grams of sugar that the liver will store, and you'll see how overreaching we are. So then you're going to have a mid-afternoon slump again, and you're going to grab that sugar. And now you're going to come home, and you're probably going to be like that brain fog, fatigue, and that mid-afternoon slump. So then you come home for dinner, and you're probably going to have, I don't know, tacos with all the tortillas and chips and salsa, pasta, big. And, you know, we have pasta. We don't just have a quarter cup of pasta.
No.
It's the whole plate.
I know,
and
right?
Then you pour on the sauce, right? So you can see how we accumulate carbs. And if you're very, very active and metabolically still functioning well, you can probably handle that for a while. But those habits over time, you're going to end up with metabolic dysfunction, blood sugar handling issues. It's the same thing. And you're going to end up on the scale of insulin resistance. And at the end of that sliding scale to the end is full-on diabetes. And then from there, we have an increase in heart disease and we have an increase in cancer. So it all comes back to eating carbs in moderation for your genetics and your activity level.
Right. And I guess I want to touch on that too, because I mean, you've taught me this too. I mean, carbs aren't the enemy, right? But they also need to be a support system to our body. Mm-hmm. Just like how cardio, I talked about in my other podcast, how it's a supplemental thing to our workout regimen. So maybe kind of touch on that, how carbs aren't bad, but they need to be a support system to our body when it's needed, mm-hmm. not just like, you know, I mean, because, you know, I mean, I have like a sweet potato, but again, the amount of carbs that I need is literally like a fourth of that for my carbohydrates right. for how active I am. It's not the whole sweet potato.
Right.
You know,
we and don't need very many carbs till we start spilling over. So to meet our glycogen needs, you first store in the liver, and then there's some glycogen stored in, which glucose, the stored version is glycogen. It's stored in the muscles. But once the liver gets full, this process goes on and it starts spewing out fat in the form of triglycerides. So okay. that's how you have high triglycerides, and then there again.
Is that where like the belly fat comes in?
Yeah.
Well, and I've even seen that, you know, I think of football players, how when they were young, they just ate and ate and ate and ate and ate all the carbs, but then they continue to eat that way when they got older. And then what happens? They usually end up getting very heavy.
Well, there's a couple things. They're not near as active as they once were, right?
Right.
But even your activity, you can only burn off so much, right? It's by the time they're older and they've been on those habits for so long, they are now metabolically or have metabolic dysfunction. They're not handling the blood sugar well.
Okay, so if we talk about metabolic dysfunction, obviously we want to give people hope, right? There's a way to correct it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
You just, and I'm not saying you have to go keto. I'm not saying that at all. If you're, with my experience, if you're very, very, have a lot of dysfunction, I would gradually take a person there temporarily right. so that we can get the fat burning system up and running. And it is kind of a rough haul because your body's so used to that constant carb fix. But most people, I think it's just being really aware of how many carbs you're eating. And just being very conscious. It's not eat carbs, but individualizing based on your genetics and how much activity you're doing. And if you're lifting weights, how much muscle.
Right, exactly.
So the liver can only store 100 grams of carbs. That's not that much.
No, what would that isn't be? That
a
much.
Cup of rice is about half of that.
Yeah. A fourth of
so
sweet
two cups
potato.
Of rice.
A fourth of a cup of sweet potato is like quite a few grams of carbs. I mean, I think it's like close to 45 carbs or 50 mm-hmm. carbs, just a fourth. So, yeah.
So it's not that much.
No, it isn't. So, but you don't, that's what I figured is you don't need that much, but just enough to, you know, like on my really high cardio days, I do consume a little bit more carbs mm-hmm. because I know that I need that, but it's good carbs. It's not crackers or pancakes or mm-hmm. cereal or things like that. You know, it's, well, I mostly go towards sweet potatoes or even an apple has 25 carbohydrates, mm-hmm. you know? So, anyway, so
you can see it doesn't take very long to add up to 100 grams where, yeah. and that's just the average, the liver and then the muscles store a little bit. So, really anything over 150 grams of carbs a day. And that even goes for somebody who has a guy that has a lot of muscle. You can only store so many carbs or glucose as glycogen.
Right. Well, and then I just think of like, you know, I think a donut or a bagel has like 75 carbs or something like that.
Oh yeah. There's your whole allotment, probably, you know?
Yeah. For the day. So, or even soda or anything like that. Okay. So we want to give people hope though. So obviously we've seen over this past like year and a half, I believe that that's why we've been so affected by the virus is because
absolutely.
We're so metabolically unhealthy mm-hmm. and it shows, so if we're going to take someone on a path who's like super metabolically unhealthy, you say first we need to get the fat working for the body, which is a little bit of keto, but not cutting carbs out or.
Well, keto means that's very restrictive. But first of all, you just bring the amount of their carbs down because their body's going to be pretty angry going through that transition. So you want to do it gradually, but just start building awareness, like helping people plan their meals. So the worst way to start your day is with a bunch of carbs, a bunch of breads. And I always think of our kiddos, and we load them up. Like, I know how I used to eat when I was little, like Rice Krispies and Cheerios, and then I just pour the sugar all over it and then eat the sugar out of the bottom of the bowl. Oh, yeah. It's disgusting.
I remember doing that, too.
And then...
And it's like milk and sugar. And
yeah, you're just it's like, oh, my gosh, so good. But then I think about sending those little kids off to school, and then they go hypoglycemic. And then those poor teachers. And then they're all squirrely and... you know, and they got to eat lunch.
Right. Well, and I think mamas too, you can't be afraid to teach your kids and help them learn. So for my kids too, since I have older kids, I do let them choose. I'm like, hey, you can eat this, but if you choose to, this and this and this can happen. And then they come back and tell me, Mom, I'm not feeling good, or I feel crabby, or I just, and I'm like, remember how you chose to eat that? And that was what you chose. This is why you're feeling this way. And then, you know, the next time they come to me, they're like, I don't want to eat that. Like, so my middle son, when there's like sugar That's and great. Stuff, he's like, I don't know if I want to eat that. Like, it made me feel so sick last time. I'm like, okay. So I'm not saying you have to be like super strict with your kids. Obviously teach them, but I feel like sugar's in everything. So they're so used to eating sugar,
right?
You know, and it's in everything, just like the, you know, toxic seed oils that we talked about. So, and I know I've talked about like reading ingredients. I don't know. I guess if someone is metabolically unhealthy, let's take them through maybe 4 or 5 steps that they can do. You said at least reduce their carbs by half. What else do you think? Start reading ingredients of the toxic seed oils.
Right. I guess I would first start with how they start their day. So we stop the peaks and valleys of blood sugar, and we want more of a rolling hill. Does that make sense? So how would I avoid those peaks and valleys? I'm not going to start my day with pancakes and syrup. Right. I'm not going to grab a bagel and head out the door. I'm not going to make my kale fruit smoothie and head out the door. Yes, there's some great nutrients in there, but you're setting yourself up for that blood sugar spike and peak and valley all day long. So I would start there.
So what would you start your day with?
This is down the road, but I'm a big proponent of intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And there's different ways to do that. You can, not eat till whatever, or you can start eating earlier in the day and then cut your last meal off earlier too. So there's that. Or I start my day off, if I'm not intermittent fasting, with 3 eggs.
Raw eggs. Do you guys remember I taught you about how we eat raw eggs?
They're very lightly cooked, but very runny, pastured eggs with a nice orange yolk. So I know I'm getting some healthy omega-3s in there. Choline, like all the yummy stuff.
Yeah, I know. I love all that. Okay, let's touch on that for a second, though. So, because I know, you know, there's all these things out there. There's like keto, there's vegan, there's this and that. And so I know that you teach a pretty balanced way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to touch on that too, because I have so many like vegan customers or clients come to me, and I just have to give them tough love, you know, a little tough love, and saying, you can't absorb the vitamin B that you need from plants, even though, like, you know, or, you know, they think that they can get all their omegas that they need from nuts. And it's just not possible, you know. So let's touch on that for a minute, why it's so important. And I don't think plants are bad, and I'm pretty sure Carrie doesn't either.
Depends on the plant, depends on the individual.
Yeah, and we should eat plants and green food. Sometimes some people are good with oxalates, some people aren't. I believe it could be a therapeutic diet, but not long term.
Not long term.
Because, and let's talk about that, why. It's because our brain has to function on so many fatty acids from animals.
Animal fats that are raised, grass fed.
Yeah.
No hormones, none of that. The animal fat in those animals is so nutritious. The fat-soluble vitamins. And our body just, it's so bioavailable. When you try and get nutrients, which you're not going to get B12 from plants. just straight up not. When you're trying to convert things, like let's say for vitamin A, like eat carrots, right? The carotene, like there's a very dirty metabolic, it's not clean. Like think of a machine. Mm-hmm. Like when we eat it from meat, it's our body just boom. It's bioavailable. It's ready to work.
Right. Or liver is a really great.
Liver is a superfood.
Yeah, yeah. Except for I don't eat liver, but I do.
I don't eat liver either, but I take desiccated liver pills every
day.
Yeah,
exactly. So because we, I mean, but.
Do you know how much B12 is in a liver?
Yeah, but like, let's talk about that. And I know I've talked about that on my previous podcast. You guys, liver has the perfect ratio of vitamin A, all your B12s. It's got iron, but it's in the perfect ratio that your body, it's not isolated. Like, so you're not taking like vitamin A and it's isolated or vitamin B. It's like in this perfect ratio and it's whole food. And that's why it's important. And so when, you know, I'm talking to vegans, I'm like, you got to at least take some omegas that are from animals, because I don't feel like we can't get them from nuts because it's just not as bioavailable, would you say?
But you need saturated fat. And if we eat plant fats and most plant proteins.
But what are plant fats? Just nuts, right?
Just nuts, yeah.
That's the only way you get fat.
But they're really high in polyunsaturated fatty acids.
Well, and anti-nutrients, right? Like nuts have to be, that's why they have the shell in them. They have tons of anti-nutrients. They have to be soaked a certain way. And
you're talking about the lectins, like from legumes, there's all kinds of, but that's kind of individual. But beans, legumes, you can't soak the lectins out of them. You really can't.
Yeah, I know that. Well, and I feel like it's definitely because when I eat beans, they don't sit very well with me.
Sit well with most people, and they just think, oh, I have gas because they ate beans. No, it's because your body doesn't like them.
Right? That old saying, like, the more you eat, the more you toot.
Yeah.
It's true, right? Because your body is probably like, oh, it's really hard to digest the lectins.
Really
right?
hard. And the lectins can cause gut permeability, leaky gut, if you'd have heard of that. So now these inflammatory things are leaching into your body. So then you've got a systemic immune response.
Which is not good. No. Not good. Wow. Well, that's a lot of info to take in. Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay, so let's kind of recap a little bit on what we've touched on. And I also kind of like to leave people with like, you know, say if someone's listening and they're just like, wow, I'm metabolically unhealthy or I'm getting on that path. I always liked my guests to leave, you know, maybe 3 to 5 things that they want to tell someone or leave with or.
Well, first of all, like, how do you identify if you're on that scale of blood sugar dysfunction? We'll just call it that.
Okay.
Metabolic health, whatever. Can you go longer? If you can't, if you get hangry every 2.5 hours, you're not very metabolically healthy.
Okay. That's a good scale to go off of.
Brain fog. Again, if you're not eating, you're getting jittery. You should be able to eat. Go 4 or 5 hours without eating. No problem.
Yeah.
And that's just playing with ratios of your macronutrients. That's getting good quality protein, preferably animal protein, because the nutrients are bio. This is not an ethical thing. It's just
Science.
It's just nutrients, right? And they're bioavailable. So the protein, healthy fat. So I no longer eat lean meats. I eat fat meat. If I eat hamburger, it's 85-15. I used to never eat that much fat. I eat probably 100 grams of fat a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
And I'll tell you what, I have great skin. And I can tell by looking at somebody if they have a low-fat diet. And they're eating a lot of carbs because I don't know who termed this, but inflammaging. Think of inflammation. Inflammaging.
Yeah.
So I've seen, people much younger than me, and I'm like, yeah, you eat a lot of carbs.
Yeah.
And not enough fat.
Right. And you look really good. Yeah. And it's actually funny today. Somebody thought that I was 23.
Yeah, you look very young.
And I was
young.
Like, ooh. I'm like, it's all those omegas. It's all that omega. Omega's good fat. and I know that you don't like it, but a really great, what I like to eat is sardines.
They have, no, they're great. I just, I'm still developing my taste buds.
Like not much, but it's fine. A lot of people I work with, they don't like them, but a really great way to eat sardines to make them taste good is coconut aminos.
Oh.
If you put that on them. But you guys, if you read the ingredients of sardines or even the nutrients, the minerals, they're packed with vitamin A, vitamin D, mm-hmm. magnesium, because this cold water fatty fish mm-hmm, is just so beneficial for you. And I grew up eating sardines. Even mine had heads on them. So, but these ones don't that I eat now. But growing up, they did. And I just popped their eyeballs out and ate them.
Nice.
So I had an English had grandmother, though. So
you'd be proud of me. I had some recently.
You did? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so proud.
I was like, they're not bad.
Yeah.
Once I get over what they look like, I'm good.
Yeah, they're not that bad. You can get them at Costco or they're even, I forget the brand that I like, but when I find it, I'll link it in the show notes because they're really, really good for you and they're not that bad. And they have, you know, 25 grams of protein per serving.
So you're getting like. That's a good profile.
Yeah, getting good protein, good fat, and zero carbohydrates.
Right.
So that's one thing that I like to go to as well. So you would say, you know, starting off your day with more protein
and fat.
And fat.
And you will be amazed at how much even your energy is, and your mood will be easy. You'll be so much more even and calm.
Yeah. Okay. So less carb. Anything else like other steps maybe to not be as metabolically deficient or things that you want to leave people with on maybe steps?
Well, along with being aware of what you put in your body and trying to keep the carbs appropriate for what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't mean 100 grams of carbs at five meals a day. That's not it. Just gradually get wean off of them and then be active. You have to be active. We have a lymphatic system. It doesn't have a heart. So in order to get fats moving and detoxing, you have to move your body.
Yeah.
As well as, I mean, you know, strong muscles, strong heart and lungs, all that. But you
right.
have to be active.
Right. And, you know, active too. And this is what Carrie has taught me is even just getting your steps in. And I know I've talked about this in a previous podcast and how much more it's made me feel good
mm-hmm.
when I have the 10K steps. I mean, I have no issues getting 10K steps. Let's just say that.
I don't doubt that.
Because I, even on a rest day, I will probably get 10 or 12,000 steps in a day mm-hmm. just because of how active I am as a young mom. But, you know, I was even talking to a friend the other day and I was like, you know, wearing something to track your steps. And it was like by 2 p.m. she only had 1,500 steps.
Wow.
And it's because she has a desk job, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, now we have a society that's sedentary, but then metabolically unhealthy. And it's just gradually stacking on top of each other, right?
Yep, exactly.
And so I'm like, you're going to have to get up out of your chair and you're just going to have to tap and walk.
Right.
You know, and then on your breaks, go out to the track because you got to try to like get something moving a little bit because, you know, obviously that's adding to her stress level and to lack of movement. And then, you know, all the rest, it cascades like you kind of talked about in the beginning. So
another thing I just thought of when you're, you know, if you have a meal and if you have the time to do that, and if there's some carbs in it, well, anything, it'll just makes you more insulin sensitive. Is go for a 10 to 20 minute walk right after you eat a meal. Not power walking, but just movement.
Right. I always said when I was younger, the reason why, because, you know, when you go shopping and you just walk a lot, mm-hmm. it's like you go eat and then you go shopping. And that's why when I was younger, I felt like I was like such in good shape too, because I would go eat and I'd go shop, you know, and just go walking.
Plus at that point,
yeah.
you're young and yeah. you're metabolism is still working well.
Yeah. So, well, and talk about that too, because I know especially as women, well, and I know you guys don't have, you can't see Carrie, but she's in very good shape. Tell us how old you are.
I'm 58.
You're 58. Okay. Yeah. She goes to the gym, lifts weights. She looks very, very young. And I guess let's talk about that. So me being, you know, fit that I am, getting the 10K steps, obviously something's going to happen and slow down a little bit, or does that happen just over time as we age because our body doesn't process digestion as well? Or is it just because our cells, you know, how we replicate them really quickly as babies and as adolescents, they're not replicating as quickly?
That's true. Your cellular turnover isn't quite as good as you age, but mainly as we age, because those things happen are because of our lifestyle choices. We don't have to age that way.
Right. We get to choose how we age. I love that. I think you said that on Instagram the other day.
I did.
We get to choose how we age. So, yeah, what's your choice, right? That's a simple question.
Yeah.
What's your choice?
Because I want to age as well as I can. And it's less about how I look. It's more about how I feel. And when I feel well, the things I'm able to do.
Exactly.
And I don't want to slow down just because I'm almost 60. I'm just getting started.
Yeah,
right. Got my kids raised. Let's go.
Yeah, right. I know. I don't know. How old am I going to be by the time all my kids? I'm going to be older. I'm going to be way older. I'll be like, because I have so many.
My babies. No. I had a baby at 38, so we're good.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because how old am I? 36? I just turned 36. Anyway, so to wrap up this podcast, there's so much juicy, good information. So I want to thank Carrie for giving us all the juicy information. Is there anything that you, maybe any of our listeners, that you want to leave them with or say to them before we sign off?
Yeah, this is a true story that happened several years when I was speaking with a client. But since a lot of your listeners are moms of young kids, I think it's kind of a good story.
Yeah, I love stories.
I was meeting with a client and she was struggling with her weight, and we were talking about strategies about what's in the pantry and, you know, not bringing certain things into the house for temptation, because when you hit that low blood sugar, you go hypoglycemic, willpower's out the door. You're physiologically,
need that. I've been there with the animal crackers.
Right. And she's like, well, I've got Cheetos and we've got, you know, she named off a handful of delicious foods, I might add. And so I looked at her and I said, and her excuse was, well, I have kids in the house and they deserve to be kids, like, and enjoy this food. And I just looked at her and I said, so you're setting them up for the same issues you're dealing with right now? And it was like the 2x4 moment, yeah, up the side of the head. She was like, yeah. So my advice is, you know, slowly start, you know, bringing whole food in, and slowly getting rid of the sodas and the apple juice and the orange juice, and let them learn to like water.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I love that.
It's a gradual thing. It's a training.
Right.
Used to it.
Well, and that's what even my husband says tonight. Sometimes he goes, people always want to blame it on genetics, right? They're like, oh, it's in my genetics. My whole family's obese, or my whole family has heart disease. But it's like, no, actually your food choices were just passed down.
Right. There's your food choices are passed
down.
And
your lifestyle was passed down, and like the behaviors were passed down. And so those are things that we can actually change. We have a lot of control over. And I think that's what people forget too, is that we have so much control over a lot of this, a lot of these things.
It's so automatic. We don't question it. Think about, you know, growing up, every time we celebrated something, we celebrated with ice cream, or we celebrated with this pizza. Let's go out for pizza, which those are great family bonding moments. But maybe we should celebrate things with an activity.
Yeah.
Let's go play putt-putt golf as a family or something, you know, and not make it about the food.
Exactly. I know. Well, and we're like kind of a country too, where we base everything like around food. You know what I mean? Even like, I know when I go out with my girlfriends, they're like, okay, we're going here and wine. And, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. And then you got to do your food choices. And then, I mean, and let's talk about that too, alcohol for a minute. I mean, it's not something that I struggle with, but I know that it's like really hard to give up for some mm-hmm. women, because wine is kind of like their, I don't know, chill, kind of sexy, kind of like, but
it's a social thing, I think.
Well, yeah, but alcohol like has a ton of sugar, and it also it's your liver, right?
Yeah, it's very damaging on your liver, but just like fruit juice is as well. Fructose is processed by the liver, and
Yeah. So you can have it once in a while, mamas, or I don't know, just take a shot of tequila. One shot of tequila, you'll
be fine. Tequila's actually one of the lesser ones. But
really? Mm-hmm. Ooh.
As long as you get the expensive, the top shelf stuff, not.
With the worm?
I'm not much of a drinker either, but I do know that tequila is one of your better ones. But
interesting. Okay. All right, moms. Well,
but not in excess.
Tequila is where it's at, I guess. So awesome. Cool. Well, we're going to sign off. Thank you so much for being on with me, Carrie.
Thank you for inviting
me. I appreciate all of your wisdom, and I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and we will see you guys in the next episode. Hey, thanks for listening. Sending you all the good vibes. The podcast can be found on most major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, follow me on social platforms, Facebook at highvibelifestyle.co, Instagram at _highvibemama, and visit my website, highvibemama.com, and download your free manifesto to launch you into living a high vibrational life. Leave a review, and we'll see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.